cutting-edge news program, The Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly.
We're coming to you live Tuesday night, May 14th, on the Global Star Radio Network at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Tomorrow night, you can hear us, May 15th, at WWCR.com on their shortwave. That'll be at 7 p.m. on a frequency of 9.350 megahertz. And another new program will air on Global Star tomorrow night at this time, and then on WWCR at 8 p.m. Thursday evening. And that frequency will be 4.840 megahertz. We have big headline news tonight. We're tracking the status of the draconian WHO, World Health Organization, Global Pandemic Treaty. As you know, we've sent out some requests for you to phone Congress. And I'll give the number several times tonight. The congressional toll-free number is 877-762-8762.
Again, Lou.
Yes, 877-762-8762. So you can call your senators. We've prayed on air together for God to foil this treaty. Now, here's the opening article in our news blitz that continues food supply and other warnings from last week's program.
Fox News, May 2nd, 2024. Senator Johnson leads letter demanding Biden reject, quote, unacceptable WHO agreements. Washington. On Wednesday, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, led the entire Senate Republican conference in sending a letter to President Biden calling for his administration to withdraw its support for two international agreements being considered at this month's World Health Assembly, WHA, that would grant greater authority to the dysfunctional World Health Organization, WHO, W-H-O, and potentially weaken United States sovereignty. The letter highlights the WHO's abysmal COVID-19 response and argues that the president should be focusing on badly needed reforms rather than plowing ahead with international treaties and regulations that would substantially increase WHO authority, shred intellectual property rights, and infringe freedom of speech. The senators wrote to the president, quote, some of the over 300 proposals for amendments made by member states would substantially increase the WHO's health emergency powers and constitute intolerable infringements upon U.S. sovereignty. The senators noted that the failure of the WHO's pandemic response was, quote, as total as it was predictable and did lasting harm to our country, and that they, quote, are deeply concerned that the Biden administration continues to support these initiatives and strongly urge you, President Biden, to change course.
They concluded, should you ignore this advice, we state in the strongest possible terms that we consider any such agreement to be a treaty requiring the concurrence of two-thirds of the Senate under Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, unquote. Senator Johnson is joined in this letter by Senators John Barrasso, M.D., Republican of Wyoming, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, and these are all Republicans, so I won't keep saying that, John Boozman of Arkansas, Mike Braun of Indiana, Katie Boyd Britt of Alabama, Ted Budd, North Carolina, Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia, Bill Cassidy, Louisiana. He's also a doctor. John Cornyn, Texas, Tom Cotton, Arkansas, Kevin Kramer, North Dakota, Mike Crapo, Idaho, Ted Cruz, Texas, Steve Daines, Montana, Joni Ernst, Iowa, Deb Fisher, Nebraska, Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, Chuck Grassley, Iowa, Bill Hagerty, Tennessee, Josh Hawley, Missouri, John Hoeven, North Dakota, Cindy Hyde-Smith, Mississippi, John Kennedy, Louisiana, James Lankford, Oklahoma, Mike Lee, Utah, Cynthia Loomis, Wyoming, Roger Marshall, Kansas, Mitch McConnell, Kentucky, Jerry Moran, Kansas, Mark Wayne Mullen, Oklahoma. Rand Paul, Kentucky. Pete Rickards, Nebraska. James Risch, Idaho. Mitt Romney, Utah. Mike Rounds, South Dakota. Marco Rubio, Florida. Eric Schmidt, Missouri. Rick Scott, Florida. Tim Scott, South Carolina. Dan Sullivan, Alaska. John Thune, South Dakota. Tom Tillis, North Carolina. Tommy Tuberville, Alabama. J.D. Vance, Ohio. Roger Wicker, Mississippi. Lisa Murkowski, Alaska. Susan Collins, Maine. And Todd Young, Indiana.
Lou, at last, this is the roll call of the Americans who do not want to see their complete sovereign America disappear. Hoorah, hoorah, hoorah. And you out there must call your senators and say, we will never accept this treaty. They must not ratify this treaty with the WHO and Biden's amendments and all of it. You must call your senators. And that is 877-762-8762. Make your voices heard. Lou called, and we left, both of us left messages with Senator Ron Johnson. Lou tried to get the two senators from Maryland who are Democrats, but a very strange malfunction occurred. It went click, and it went to some kind of a systems. Was it called Cisco Systems?
That's right, yes.
We don't know what that was, but it does look like they had their tails between their legs, and they didn't want to hear anything about this. They didn't want to have to respond. Oh, perhaps it was just an accidental glitch. Oh, I guess I'm just too suspicious. But we do applaud this aspect of bravery, courage, right action when we ask you to do your part out there, listeners. We've prayed on air about this, about God Almighty foiling this terrible, terrible draconian plan and giving America more time mercifully to repent. So here we have the letter, May 1st, 2024. You know, interestingly, Lou, this was on May Day. The Marxists
right.
in the world, you know, it's fateful, isn't it? It's fateful that there's opposition to this kind of a communist takeover of America. The Honorable Joseph R. Biden, President of the United States, the White House, Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. President, next month, during the 77th World Health Assembly, your administration is expected to commit the United States to two international agreements that would strengthen the World Health Organization's, that's WHO, authority to declare public health emergencies of international concern and expand the WHO's, again, that's the World Health Organization's, authority over member states during such emergencies. This is unacceptable. The WHO's failure during the COVID-19 pandemic was as total as it was predictable and did lasting harm to our country. The United States cannot afford to ignore this latest WHO inability to perform its most basic function and must insist on comprehensive WHO reforms before even considering amendments to the International Health Regulations, IHR, or any new pandemic-related treaty that would increase World Health Organization authority. We are deeply concerned that your administration continues to support these initiatives and strongly urge you to change course.
Article 55 of the IHR, and once again, that is International Health Regulations, requires the text of any IHR amendment to be communicated to member states at least 4 months before the WHA at which they are to be considered. And WHA is World Health Assembly. As the WHO has still not provided final amendment text to member states, we submit that IHR amendments may not be considered at next month's WHA. And again, WHA is World Health Assembly. Some of the over 300 proposals for amendments made by member states would substantially increase the World Health Organization's health emergency powers and constitute intolerable infringements upon U.S. sovereignty. As such, it was essential that the WHO abide by the 4-month notice period to allow member states time to ensure that no traces of such proposals were included in a final amendment package for consideration by the WHA. Having failed to do so, amendments are not in order. The WHO's most recent publicly available draft of its new pandemic response treaty is dead on arrival. Instead of addressing the WHO's well-documented shortcomings, the treaty focuses on mandated resource and technology transfers, shedding intellectual property rights, infringing free speech, and supercharging the WHO. Moving forward with a new pandemic preparedness and response treaty ignores the fact that we are still unsure of COVID-19's origins, because Beijing continues to block a legitimate, independent investigation.
We have to interject into Senator Johnson's letter. This is the only dupe statement he well knows about the NIH, but I guess he's going to be tactful with Biden. But overall, we just applaud this
yeah.
effort. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes, it continues. We strongly urge you not to join any pandemic-related treaty, convention, or agreement being considered at the 77th WHA. Again, that's the World Health Assembly. Should you ignore this advice, we state in the strongest possible terms that we consider any such agreement to be a treaty requiring the concurrence of 2/3 of the Senate under Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution.
We are going to interject again.
Yes.
Lou, that was paramount in your thinking, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
About the Constitution.
Yeah, this would violate the Constitution. And I don't care how slimily Biden wants to squirm and try to make it some kind of a, I don't know, executive order, it won't be legal. And I would think that the courts will rule exactly that way.
Bravo.
Now, it continues, in light of the high stakes for our country and our constitutional duty, we call upon you to, one, withdraw your administration support for the current IHR amendments and pandemic treaty negotiations. Two, shift your administration's focus to comprehensive WHO reforms that address its persistent failures without expanding its authority. And three, should you ignore these calls, submit any pandemic-related agreement to the Senate for its advice and consent. Sincerely, Ron Johnson, United States Senator, Rick Scott, United States Senator.
And again, let's give our listeners the toll-free congressional number so as the Lord leads, you can call and leave your message with your senators that you do not want this treaty ratified ever.
Yes, that number, once again, is 1-877-762-8762. And I'll repeat that, 1-877-762-8762. And now I believe we go to you, Elizabeth. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. Next, we have the news about broadcaster Hawk, and he drew our attention to arson on the bees that are pollinators. Now, you see, we're picking up our story that we had last Wednesday, listeners, about the foods, the attack on the foods and the plan by the New World Order to starve everybody out and perhaps take us all to FEMA camps. And Google played a little joke on Lou the other day. He was looking for some other site, and suddenly it flashed up at him, FEMA headquarters, Preston, Maryland, where we live. They thought it was so cute of the New World Order to have a little joke, didn't they, Lou?
Yes, they did. I had no idea we had a government organization in our little hometown.
That's right. Well, their little jokes are going to meet with some more scrutiny, we hope and pray, from Congress. Next, the scrutiny should be on the gain of function. We don't have any update yet about an article that we had seen that 17 congressional members were trying to get to the bottom of the USDA under Tom Vilsack doing some secret work with a Chinese lab that was connected with Wuhan on making the bird flu more virulent. That seemed to have died, but you must be aware, listeners, that we saw that article. So now, Broadcaster Hawk drew our attention to this arson on the bees, bees that are the pollinators, keys to producing many of the foods that we eat. And Hawk himself is a broadcaster who is elderly, and he has terminal lung cancer. And we've heard his story. That the Archangel Michael came into his home years ago, about 20 years ago, and visited him and his wife. And Michael, the angel, asked Hawk, he said that God wants you to strike blows against the Luciferians, his enemies. And number two, he wants you to warn his people, those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, about what is coming. And Hawk very much needs our prayers, and in a few minutes Lou is going to pray for him. But I hope that some of you will get your pen or pencil ready. Some of you who have been blessed by the Lord, you're not struggling terribly as an older person or as a younger person, you've been blessed. Hawk is struggling to get his breath, and yet he valiantly comes on the air when he can on Thursdays and Friday nights on Global Star, the Global Star radio network. And he has said that he is in somewhat of a desperate need. So I'm going to give you the address where you can mail a check, a money order, or some Federal Reserve notes. And it's the address that Hawk himself has given out on air. And we do not know his real name, but we believe that if anyone was ever true, he is true. The way he is valiantly struggling for breath, and yet he's giving us important information, like this arsonist deal in New York with the bees. So here is the address, and you just make out your money order or your check to Hawk, capital H-A-W-K, and you send it to this address, Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, and I will repeat that again. That's Hawk at 3965 West 83rd Street, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356. Now, that whole address so far is 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, and the town is Prairie Village, capital P-R-A-I-R-I-E, Prairie and Village, Kansas, and the zip code is 66208, and the abbreviation for Kansas, of course, is capital K, capital S. So again, it's Hawk at 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And if you can't send him any money, please send him a card. You are thinking about him and praying for him. And now, before we get to that article that he gave us, we're going to ask Lou to gather with all of you, and please quit your multitasking, lay down your dishes or whatever you're working on, and please bring your hearts to God Almighty as we plead for Hawk's life, for a miracle, or that God will take him home quickly without much suffering, whatever is God's will. So Lou is now going to lead all of the Divided Kingdom listeners in a prayer for Hawk.
So let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we just pray for this valiant broadcaster who goes by the name of Hawk, who served you for close to 20 years as the Archangel Michael commanded. And we ask you now, if it be possible, and according to your will, that you banish any cancer from his system. That's a big order, but
by the power of Jesus Christ's blood.
Yes,
we all
right.
Pray that in our hearts right now, by the power of Jesus Christ's blood.
Yes, we pray that, Lord. And he served you well, so we pray that you will reward him and give him a chance to continue to serve you, if that's your will. All things we ask in accordance with your will. So we pray for Hawk. We pray for his health. We pray for his energy. We pray for his breath to be able to talk. And just give this all to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And now here is the article that tells about what Hawk drew our attention to. This was by the WRGB staff, April 27th, 2024. Arsonist destroys North Country hives, killing 500,000 bees. Ellenberg Center, New York, WRGB. Police in northern New York are investigating an arson that destroyed the home of more than 1 million bees. Police say on Wednesday night, sheds housing bees in Ellenberg Center, that's just west of Plattsburgh, were set on fire. State police found kerosene or diesel oil when they arrived on the scene. The owner, Stuart King, noticed the flames in enough time and managed to dump enough standing rainwater from nearby buckets to put out the fire in one shed. But by that time, they estimate 500,000 bees were already killed. The owners are left baffled, both by who could have done this and where to go from here. Well, we have some clues. We are not as baffled, perhaps, here at the Divided Kingdom as to who the culprits of the destruction of the bees might have been. If you haven't written yet to request your copy of our new book, COVID and Coming Chaos, again, that's COVID and Coming Chaos, do get in touch. One whole chapter outlines the food destruction chaos in just one given year. That year was 2022. You'll never believe the things that were destroyed in one year. Many listeners have now written us requesting this book, and a number of them have written back, especially about that chapter 22. All you need to do, we don't want you to be left behind. Don't you want to have this historical record that your family will have in years to come? It'll be like whatever we could find from 9/11 that was truthful, you know, now is rather precious, or rather maybe it was worth a lot of money. So, you know, just write us, and if you can, you can put a $5 bill or three ones in to help with the postage, but no money is necessary. We are not putting this book out for money. This is God's book. This is his mustard seed, and we dearly want you to have this historical record and key warning information. You know, it's pretty up to date. It even talks about the WHO treaty, so send your note to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And any support you can send to Lou directly would be great right now. He has a lot of expenses. The toner is gone. He had to pay for the phone. He had to buy paper. We had some donated stamps. We can use some more, anybody who wants to send them. But anything you want to do to help our ministry, you can send it to Lou Caverly also, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Now, to Lou, because there's more on this agenda to take away our food. The WEF seems to be pretty big in that. Bill Gates buying up all the farmland of the world. A lot of things are going on, Lou. Back now to you.
Yes, we have from Natural News, March 8th, 2024. The headline, Representative Massey warns about federal plan to electronically track all U.S. cattle to stymie beef production.
And, you know, those of you who were listening last week heard about one of the biggest beef producers in the United States, I think, being closed. It was from the Fort Fairfield Journal. I don't recall the name of the corporation, but, Lou, you brought that to us, didn't you?
I did, yes. I don't recall the name
either.
Wasn't
it the biggest in the world, practically?
It may have been, yes.
So you can see, this is a trend. So every at every point along the perimeter, anything that has to do with beef is under attack. If they can't put the bird flu into it, you know, we've heard cases of that in the beef. If they can't burn it out, like at the smokehouse cattle ranch, I guess, in Texas. They're going to try to do something here now legislatively. So again, Massey is saying what?
He's saying they want to put electronic tags on all U.S. cattle in order to stymie the beef production. It says, hidden deep within the new omnibus bill is a secret provision to allow the federal government to electronically track all cattle.
This was coming up in March, wasn't it?
Yes, this was dated March 8th. That's right. Representative Thomas Massey, Republican of Kentucky, warned about the hidden provision. And he made the warning on X, stating that lobbyists will receive $15 million in taxpayer funds to unleash the electronic tracking grid on the nation's meat-producing cows and bison. As stated directly from the omnibus, the agreement, quote, directs the department to continue to provide the tags and related infrastructure needed to comply with the Federal Animal Disease Traceability Rule, and it has in parentheses 9, CFR 86, including no less than $15 million for electronic identification tags, EIDs, and related infrastructure needed for stakeholders to comply with the proposed rule. Use of electronic identification ear tags as official identification in cattle and bison. And it has in parentheses 88 FR 3320, should that rule be finalized, unquote. None of this, warned Representative Massey, is legal. And yet, the near total apathy of the American people these days means these kinds of things are easily passable without so much as a peep from the wider constituency. Quote, no law authorizes this, Representative Massey wrote. And he went on, it will be used by the green agenda to limit beef production and by the corporate meat oligopoly, oligopoly, to dominate small ranchers, unquote. And they have in this article in parentheses related, back in 2021 at the height of the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic, Representative Massey called for everyone at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, to be fired for lying about the nature of the so-called, quote-unquote, virus. And here we have a subheadline, Attorney Thomas Renz warns electronic tracking of cattle will unleash universal GMO, quote-unquote, vaccines on the food supply.
Now, here we go. This is the Rahm Emanuel dictum, never let a good crisis go to waste. They do something in order to facilitate what they really want to do, which is to bring on the globalist medical police state, take away all of our medical freedom. So tell us again. Repeat that. That was worth repeating.
Yes, Attorney Tom Renz warns electronic tracking of cattle will unleash universal GMO vaccines, and that's in quotes, vaccines, on the food supply. What Representative Massey means by the green agenda is that this little ear tag scheme is merely a front to further dig into the American meat supply in order to crush it, paving the way for synthetic meat, quote-unquote meat, bugs, and other climate-friendly replacements to flood the market instead. One of just a few in Congress, or anywhere, calling out the scheme, Representative Massey deserves credit for keeping the American public abreast of these latest developments, even if most people seemingly do not care what happens to their food supply. And here we have a quote.
Not in Florida.
That's right.
They have outlawed Bill Gates' Beyond Meat, I believe, that type of product.
That's a very good thing. I think that's true and a
hip,
very
hip,
good
hooray,
thing.
Again.
Yes, yes. So here we have a quote. It's important to make sure similar nonsense isn't occurring at state and local levels, warned an ex-account called Justin George about the plot. Even more ominous was a warning that Attorney Tom Renz put in response to Representative Massey's tweet about the implications of the electronic ear tag scheme on food safety. Renz wrote this, quote, it will also be used to ensure the introduction of genetics modifying vaccines on a universal basis into the food supply. This is not just about limiting beef output. It's about ensuring the beef available has mRNA vaccines in it, unquote. Again, that was from Tom Renz.
And And again, Lou, we must interrupt to remind any new listeners that we brought Dr. Joseph Mercola's information and other very credible sources to the mic some months back, that we have been able to ascertain that these mRNA vaccines have been in the pork supply for some years now. And as best we can ascertain, the mRNA is not in the vaccines for the cattle yet, according to the U.S. Cattlemen's group. So we're watching this very closely, aren't we, Lou?
Very, very closely, yes. This is very crucial. And Tom Rentz responded to Representative Massey further by offering to speak with him directly about the details of all this, emphasizing surety in his understanding of the long-term plan. And another person quoted, "We need to pass an omnibus that outlaws omnibuses," joked another about how ridiculous this all is. And still another said, "This is exactly why we need single-item spending bills," wrote another, further joking with a play on words, blending the word communism with omnibus. And he said, quote, "No more omnibus," unquote. At this constant fighting over the climate, the food supply, and other pertinent issues, and all of this is exhausting, wrote another, which is why increasingly more people seem to support the idea of splitting up the country into two separate entities. And here we have the quote from another one, "No wonder why people are asking for a national divorce to split this country up. Give them the Green New Deal, illegals, crime, and drag shows, and let the people on planet Sane have the rest of the country," unquote.
Very important article, Lou.
Yes.
Is that it?
That's it.
And here is more about the destruction of farms and eventually our food supply. Natural News, March 22, 2024, Cassie B. After shutting down thousands of farms, European governments are warning about a future food crisis as food insecurity worsens. EU government officials recently conversed with food security experts to devise a plan to handle a potential food crisis. The question no longer appears to be whether such a scenario will come to pass, but rather how soon Europeans can expect it. The possibility that Europe might experience a major food crisis has become so likely that 60 EU and government officials gathered to carry out a simulation of what could occur and work on policies that can help respond to such a crisis. Oh, Lou, where have we heard that before? Event 201,
yes.
Before the pandemic.
That's
back
right.
To the article, with videos depicting floods, droughts, and civil unrest to drive home what is at stake, experts were warned to, quote, expect a level of chaos. And there again, in our book, we have a lot from Dane Wigington, who has studied the climate greatly. You don't want to miss that in our book, so just write and ask for our new book to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Back to the article now. We are seeing signs of an impending food crisis around the world, with a series of geopolitical and weather events all piling up to create the perfect storm for a major food crisis. For example, oh, we've got to interrupt. This may have been from Hawk, Lou, or not. There have been a lot of tornadoes in the Midwest. Things are getting so bad. I believe this was Hawk that he said that the winter wheat will be under great stress. Now, again, we ask, is this weather modification? Is this by design? As you and I, day after day after day after day after day, have an unprecedented amount of chemical trails surrounding our home. I think they want us to die. But you know, Lieutenant Colonel Craig Roberts, who was the author of that book about the sniper at Dealey Plaza, when he was going to Vietnam, he was down in the Ozarks visiting his grandfather, and on the porch, the grandfather said, "Now, son, I know you might be worried, you know, you're going to Vietnam, but the Lord will not take you home till he's ready for you." So Lou and I know that's true about us, too. They can do what they want to do, but you know, sometimes God foils people. sometimes the people who are doing the evil get sick. Those things in those planes can't be good for those pilots who are dropping them. The aluminum, the barium salts added to the JP-8 jet fuel and more, probably fungi spores of some type, mycoplasmic types of things. All kinds of things are being put down on the American people. And perhaps Lou and I aren't targeted, but we're proud to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're targeted or not, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Yes, we were born to do this work, not because we're so great, but because God knew He would give us parents who created Christian love in our hearts. You know that was your mother and father, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I met them, and you met my mother and father,
yes.
And you know that we both were taken to Sunday school, and we watched role models of people who cared for other people, who were not just selfishly trying to rule the world. They didn't have millions of dollars. You know, I recall when I was getting ready to go to college, the banker from our bank came and wanted to borrow money from my mother and father. And my mother told me later all we had was $2,000, so we couldn't do that. But they were able to pay for my college. You see, God makes a way with His people. So anyone out there who's depressed, who's very poor, who's sick, He will heal you if you turn your life over to Him completely and you repent of your sins and you ask for help. He will show you how He will help you, won't He, Lou?
Yes, He will.
So important.
Yes,
but
He will.
But we do stress again about Hawk. He says, stock up on food, stock up on food. And as you hear me reading this article, you surely have some impetus to take care of your family. Because this is a manufactured crisis, you see, from what we can see. So the article says all these weather events are piling up to create this perfect storm. And, for example, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Israel's war on Gaza, and the coronavirus pandemic have caused disruptions to crucial shipping routes that have sent food prices through the roof and impacted supply chains. Meanwhile, extreme and unpredictable weather has been having a big effect on farming and crop yields, from droughts in the Mediterranean to weather patterns impacting soy output in Latin America. As part of their simulations, the government officials envisioned a scenario where there are numerous harvest failures in 2025. Lou, that looks like the Illuminati prediction, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
Their moral code that they must tell us what they're planning. These failures that affect the prices of animal feed, stunting the production of livestock and fish, while ships bringing crops askew Europe in favor of higher bidders in other parts of the world. At the same time, limits on palm oil exports in Asia could reduce the supplies of a range of daily staples, including bread. The simulation also noted how such a scenario could now sow civil unrest. Oh, are we surprised, Lou?
No, not at
all.
No.
And again, this is by Cassie B. at Natural News. Particularly as hungry and fed-up Europeans push back against corporate greed. Eventually, they envisioned thieves starting to loot supermarkets later in 2025, with police struggling to keep rioters under control. Now, again, we're interjecting, this is the plan. Albert Pike, in 1871, writing to Giuseppe Mazzini, the Italian labor leader, and Albert Pike, who was at the head of Freemasonry, they wanted this World War III. They wanted the world into chaos. They wanted to eventually bring the Zionist world against the Muslim world, let them fight it out till there was nothing left, and all the people of the world would be so demoralized and sick. Then they would really unleash the terrible evil, the unspeakable evils, to where the people then would come under the light of Lucifer. That's what it is. We're going to the very top of the evil pyramid with the flashing, all-seeing eye. At the very top is Lucifer. So this simulation is giving you a little heads up, listeners. So there's going to be rioting. There's going to be times when maybe you would rather have your cans of food stored in your home than trying to go in there with Antifa types taking their sticks on you. With police struggling to keep rioters under control, livestock farmers going bankrupt, and German shoppers unable to find meat or fish in grocery stores. How do they envision getting out of such a scenario? They used role-playing activities to workshop policies related to building reserves of food, crisis management, and food provision. Their activities also raised some important questions, such as how to reduce Europe's over-reliance on crop imports such as soy for feeding the dairy and meat industry. Center for Systems Solutions Science Director Piotr Magnuszewski pointed out that government-led exercises like this one are very uncommon, particularly when it comes to topics such as food. Indeed, Europe has long been considered one of the world's biggest supplier of foods ranging from olive oil and pork to dairy and grains, while enjoying some of the world's lowest levels of food insecurity. The Global Food Security Index has long ranked European nations among the world's most secure when it comes to food, and the percentage of household spending devoted to food is relatively low compared to other nations. For example, in 2021, only 14% of household spending there went to food, compared to 40% in Egypt and 60% in Nigeria. However, its position as a relatively food-secure part of the world is now in doubt, as weather and climate events cost Europe more than $54 billion in economic losses in 2022. Meanwhile, the costs associated with the energy and fertilizers needed to grow crops have been skyrocketing since Russia invaded Ukraine. One of the workshop's organizers, retired U.S. diplomat Chris Hagedorn, warned that few European governments are prepared to manage a future food crisis. He said, quote, there's a lot more to be done on every level. Crises are only going to come faster and harder.
And much bigger than a hypothetical bird flu danger right now looks to be the continuing of this plan. As Ethan Huff says, for, quote, no more food, no more humans. Now we have from newsaddicts.com, UN secretly working with banks to destroy farming industry, by Hunter Fielding, February 3rd, 2024. A group of top officials representing 12 U.S. states has raised the alarm after discovering that the unelected globalist United Nations is secretly working with banks to destroy the American farming industry. The banks are using the UN's Marxist Environmental, Social, and Corporate Governance, ESG, criteria to score and penalize farmers. Traditional rural farmers are not considered woke enough, according to ESG scoring, and are being debanked, having their accounts shut down without notice or explanation. The plot seeks to throttle the agricultural industry to eliminate all those who fail to comply with the globalist net zero agenda of the World Economic Forum, the WEF. As part of the effort to wage war on the food supply, banks have teamed up with a United Nations organized group called Net Zero Banking Alliance, NZBA. A dozen Republican state agricultural commissioners have penned a letter to six U.S. megabanks over the chilling discovery. The letters inform the banks that pushing for ESG investing may lead to food price increases and impact food availability.
They criticize the bank's membership in the NZBA, which aims to finance ambitious climate action, potentially harming American farming and ranching operations by promoting an agenda that prioritizes wind turbines and solar panels over energy sources such as diesel fuel. As these issues continue to unfold, it is clear that the United States and other countries around the world are facing unprecedented challenges in terms of food security, economic stability, and political power dynamics. It is crucial for individuals to stay informed and proactive in securing their own well-being by making smart choices about where they invest their money, how they manage their finances, and what kind of actions they take to ensure their personal safety and security in an increasingly volatile an uncertain world. Meanwhile, the war on food has continued to run rampant across the nation. Earlier this week, a huge explosion completely destroyed a major chicken processing plant in Texas. A massive fire at Feathercrest Farms in Texas raises suspicions of more food sabotage. Multiple chicken houses burned down, leading to a loss of life for many chickens. The explosion could be seen and heard for miles around. The resulting fire filled the sky with plumes of black smoke. Authorities believe the plant may now be a total loss due to the excessive fire damage and huge loss of chickens. However, the cause of the shocking explosion remains unknown. This adds to the ongoing concerns about the safety of our food supply chain, as well as the need for individuals to secure their own food supplies through means such as growing their own food or having backup plans in place. We can't stress this enough, can we? I don't know, Lou, whether you could find that new little alert from listener Larry about the bird flu in South Carolina, I believe.
Yes.
Why don't we give that right little bulletin here?
Yes. I don't know what the source was. Oh, yes, I do. NEDHHS.gov. So this is a reputable website. If it's a .gov, it's put out by the government. And this was Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Statement. Avian flu detected in North Carolina dairy herd. Press release. As indicated by the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, highly pathogenic avian influenza was detected in a dairy herd in North Carolina. HPAI was previously detected in dairy herds in Texas, Kansas, Michigan, Idaho, New Mexico, and Ohio. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services today issued the following statement in regard to public health concerns. And I don't believe we have the full statement, but that gives you the gist of it.
Again, we have been talking about the possibly secret role of the USDA under Tom Vilsack, working with a CCP lab covertly in China, one that was connected with Wuhan, about making the bird flu more virulent. So we're just waiting to see how all this will play out. But the Daily Mail had an article May 6th. Chinese scientists create mutant Ebola virus to skirt around biosafety rules, and it causes horrific symptoms and kills a group of hamsters. The hamsters infected with the constructed virus died within 2 to 3 days. The results could be a breakthrough in using animals to safely study Ebola. Lou, don't you ask why? Why are we doing this?
Nice, I hate innocent, to think why, nice, but I think thing. I can imagine why.
You can, can't you?
Yeah.
And they say experts reveal what virus could cause the next pandemic. This was by Anjali Mercado with the Daily Mail. Chinese scientists have engineered a virus with parts of Ebola in a lab that killed a group of hamsters. A team of researchers at Hebei Medical University, and that's H-E-B-E-I, Medical University, used a contagious disease of livestock and added a protein found in Ebola, which allows the virus to infect cells and spread throughout the human body. The group of hamsters that received the lethal injection, quote, developed severe systemic diseases similar to those observed in human Ebola patients, including multi-organ failure, the study shared. Well, we have to watch all this, but one thing in the takedown of America that we do know right now is harming all of us, it is the flooding of the borders with the illegal aliens. IFX, do you have anything before that, Lou?
Well, I had an article on over 140,000 farms lost in 5 years.
Oh, wow. I think we better get that.
All right. Between 2017 and 2022, and by the way, this is by Daniel Munch, economist, from FB.org. I believe this is no doubt a farm type of journal.
This is so important because Bill Gates buying up all the land, and And we had an article last time from RFK Jr. about one of the real purposes in the Ukraine. The breadbasket of Europe was for these big companies like Cargill, DuPont, Monsanto. They were buying the land, and that was in turn owned by BlackRock. So you see these big globalist conglomerates. They want the money. It's the greed. The people could starve. Go ahead.
Yes, between 2017 and 2022, the number of farms in the U.S. declined by 141,733, or 7%, according to USDA's 2022 Census of Agriculture, released on February 13th. Acres operated by farm operations during the same time frame declined by 20.1 million, 2.2%, a loss equivalent to an area about the size of the state of Maine. Only 1.88% of acres operated and 1% of farm operations were classified under a non-family corporate farm structure. Conducted every 5 years, the Census of Agriculture collects data on land use and ownership, producer characteristics, production practices, income, and expenditures. USDA defines a farm as an operation that produced and sold, or normally would have sold, $1,000 or more of agricultural products during the census year. While the number of farm operations and acres operated declined, the value of agricultural productions increased, rising from $389 billion in 2017 to $533 billion in 2022, 40% nominally and 17% growth adjusted for inflation. These updated numbers highlight the continuing trend of fewer operations farming, fewer acres of land, but producing more each year.
It's so, is that it, Lou?
There's a little bit more.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. In addition to ag census data, USDA releases survey-based estimates on farm numbers once every year. Using this annual survey data dating back to 1950, the trend of fewer operations farming, fewer acres, becomes even more obvious. Since 1950, the number of farm operations has declined by 3.75 million, 66%, and the number of acres farmed declined by 323 million.
That's astounding. That's more than half, isn't it?
That's right, 27%. And that acreage that's declined is slightly less than twice the size of Texas. Technological advancements that have increased productivity, such as food conversion ratios in livestock and yield per acre in crops, have allowed farmers and ranchers to produce more with less, even as the U.S. population more than doubled, from 159 million in 1950 to 340 million in 2023, and the global population more than tripled, 3.5 billion to 8 billion during the same period.
Those are just astounding figures. And we know that some of our listeners are still living that wonderful way of life, the little farms. We've heard from a very precious listener who says her peas and her strawberries, you know, I think she's ready to harvest them, and the potatoes are coming along. So, you know, God is watching over you independent farmers. And we have to thank Farmer Jack again for that wonderful information about pork, that article from a natural health foods kind of guru. And if you missed that, you should go into our archives and find that, you know, at dividedkingdomradio.com last week. Go in and listen to our programs. We're not advising you what to do about pork, but we are telling you that we've given it up because we couldn't think of putting anything into our bodies that had had vaccines that had mRNA in them. Could we, Lou?
No, we want to stay away from that, that's for sure.
You know, it's sheer stupidity, anybody who would do that. And it's sad enough to have to read these obituaries. Just about every week, there's somebody that I find in our local paper who died suddenly or died unexpectedly. And sometimes they're very young. That beautiful young girl, I think, was only in her 20s who died. You and I saw a student of ours whom we tutored, or rather taught, in about, maybe 1988, something like that, died. She was in her 40s, I think. But she was a high school kid when we knew her, and there was no real death reason given. So we think possibly that was the COVID shot. It's such an awful thing. And we now have a big headline from, I guess, the People's Voice: doctors ordered to euthanize millions of vax to cover up disturbing side effects. That's a claim. We can't substantiate that. That big pharma and the medical industry are kind of getting rid of some people. This is happening in secretive hospital corridors. That's probably always been here from the time man was formed, this secret kind of murder of people who were inconvenient. Don't you think, Lou?
Oh, I think it has been for a very long time.
I think so, too. But then we do have Chris Cuomo, and the big headline on him is that he has full-blown VADs, and that would mean his whole immune system is not working. And he once made fun of ivermectin, I think, and now he is taking it. So we have to pity these people, these celebrities who were not up to it, maybe intellectually, to understand spiritually, to understand morally, to understand the evil that came to us from the years 2020 to 2023 particularly. And again, we hope that you will write to us and say you would like to have our new book. To Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Tomorrow night, we're going to get into the open borders and what the news is on the aliens. And we're going to be talking about some police state materials. Illinois to begin jailing parents who refuse to transition their kids. There's more on this, the moral evils. And we're also going to talk about the idea that we're in sort of a period of decline. It's not the fourth turning, but it's something like that. We're going to take you through the stages and see where we are. So we do hope you will tune in again to the Divided Kingdom tomorrow night. And we just pray for the Lord to be with you and guide you and guard you during these tumultuous days that are coming. Lou?
We just invite you to tune in tomorrow night. We've got some things on the migrants up in Maine. We've got some stuff in my home state of Massachusetts. Lots of news. You won't want to miss it.
And, again, the hope that you've always said we can live a more abundant life.
That's right. That's the promise of Jesus. So we thank you for listening, and we wish you good night.